Are we getting to the point here where you've become a ball boy at the club?
Well, that was in the early 60s, I think. Oh. Yeah, it would have been, yes. A friend of mine and I, they obviously wanted ball boys, so we came down here, and on match days, you didn't throw a new ball on for every line out in those days. The only time you threw a new ball on is when it went over the stand, either in Worcester Street or in St Mark Street. And if it went over in St Mark Street, very often it would go over the stand into the gardens. So although we were paid for the job, it was quite annoying to have to miss half the game and go around and get these balls. And sometimes you did miss quite a bit of the game, because I can't remember which number it was, but the fella there, he always got the ball, but it took him about half an hour to walk, come to the door, answer the door in the first place, go out to the back garden, get the ball, and come back again. But 99% of the time we got the ball back, and if we didn't, the man in charge those days of the changing rooms and everything, a fella called Tom Oakes. And Tom, he would let you know if you didn't bring the ball back. But it was some good times. A colleague I used to do it was a fellow called Mark Finch, whose parents or his father kept the fencing place in Pitt Street. And I still see his mother walking around now. She's a welcomer at the cathedral. She was a very good chorister. But I do remember an embarrassing moment once when I went to kick a new ball onto the pitch, and the ball had gone over the stand, and I kicked the ball straight over the stand as well. Great amusement of the shed. But in those days, the shed didn't, on normal games, it certainly wasn't like it is now. It was always a lot of banter and very, very funny comments coming out of it, but nowhere near as packed.
Yeah. I used to stand in the shed in those days.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was only on county days that it got packed out.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yes, it did. My daddy, when he watched a game, he never came over and sat in the stand. He always stood on the steps, mainly because I think he just wanted to keep having cups of tea. But he never came across the stand at all. He always stood at the top of the steps where the players used to come out.
Yeah.
By the clock there. Yeah. But he always said that the comments coming out of the shed was so, so funny. And unfortunately, as soon as it moved over this side, the players coming out, and he again, when he first used this side, he always used to stand down in the entrance, never went up in the stands at all. And he did say he lost some of the humour because he couldn't hear it.
Yeah,
looking at some of these, this is when I first started watching rugby, and Alan Townsend, of course, still with us, playing. Pete Meadows, who ended his career, I played with Peter, and he ended his career at Cryptians. Wonderful, wonderful club man, loved his sport, loved his rugby, very enthusiastic. And it was always a joke with Peter that we would talk about rugby, but he was always very gesticulated all the time. He was moving his arms. And if we went into town for a drink after a game, what was a crowded bar, when Peter walked in and started talking, was nearly empty because he knocked everybody on his way. But the funniest story he told me once was, he used to live along Escort Road, and he used to walk to the ground to play, and very often he would bump into my grandfather. And he would say about my grandfather, he said, the trouble is, he would talk about rugby, and by the time I was down at King's Arms, I was in the middle of the road, because he pushed his arms, and he was gesticulating all the time. And I thought, well, now I know where he got it from. But of course, I played a lot of cricket with Peter as well, for the old Cryptians, and still, occasionally, when I play, he still plays skittles for them. Just a wonderful club man. He'd play in any position. He used to play on the wing. He used to play scrum half at Gloucester. Just the epitome of a great club man. Peter Ford, Alan Holder, I've already mentioned, went off there. Terry Hobson, well, what a player. You can't say more about Terry. He was just the best uncapped outside half England ever have, I think. He could kick the ball. I think there's only been one kicker out of hand since Terry Hopson you can compare, and that was Ludovic Mercier. They're just similar sort of style. They would kick the ball, drill it down into the corner, lovely torpedo kicks. And of course Terry would make some wonderful, he'd make probably two, three breaks a game. But very often there'd be a try at the end of it. Russell Hillier, well, my grandmother, I think she fancied him, and I told him that on several occasions. Always very tanned at the beginning of the season, but what a servant to rugby he has been. The Stroud Rugby Club, I don't think would exist without him now. He's on the he's one of the RFU, I call them the 57 varieties.
That's right. Yeah, we interviewed him not long ago.
Did you? Sure, yeah. He's a real character, and again, a great sportsman. Cricket, rugby, Bob Dick Smith, obviously, another player who was just completely overlooked by the England selectors. And through business, I bumped into a fellow called Rodney Webb a couple of years ago, who played for Coventry in their great days. And played on the wing for England. And he said to me, is that Dick Smith still around? And he said, he's one player, he said, he was a thorn in my blooming neck, he was. And I said, well, and I said to him then that his Ian was now playing for Gloucester. And so Rodney Webb, he was one player that stuck out in his.
I think that's true of quite a lot of players from yes. what we hear, that he was very highly respected.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Bob Timms, he played on the wing. He was one of the last wingers that used to throw the ball in, I think, when the wingers in those days threw the ball in. Still see Bob now. He phones me up occasionally to play golf. Not very well, of course, but I play occasionally. Ken Taylor, I can remember him playing. I think he was a farmer from up in the Cotswold somewhere, Ken. Alan Brin, of course, he's not been very well lately, but I haven't seen him for a while. John Bayliss, what a player. I was chatting to him up in the stand a few weeks ago, and he was moaning about players not being able to pass the ball. And I said,
Hang on.
No, so, but yeah, so a great club man too. And, Baggy Hudson, well, I haven't seen him since he really packed up. Mickey Booth, I bumped into a lot in town, and we stand and chat for hours. And again, Mickey was a wonderful club man. He played for the RAF. I remember him not playing for Gloucester for a couple of seasons because he played for the RAF. But of course, in those days, we had three really good scrum halves: Mickey Booth, John Spalding, and a lot of people never mentioned Gary Mace.
Gary Mace, yeah.
Now, Gary was a phenomenal player. He was just, I can remember watching a reverse pass from him from the touchline and Terry Hopson catching it in the middle of the pitch. Truly a talent unfulfilled. Just a great player. And John Spalding, John, one game that sticks in my memory was against the Fijians out here, which ended up in a county game, and it was almost a war of attrition.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but the Fijians were a physical side anyway, because they're big fellows. But the blood on that pitch afterwards, and John was one of the, it was blood coming, and great player. Unfortunately, he died a few years ago. But I always remember John and his father walking down the grounds. They used to spend all their time in the White Hart, even before a game. Tony Osmond, Cheltenham chap. I bumped into him a few years ago when we were running the club shop, actually. He came in, and I always remember him on the wing. Tony Ricketts, a big fella, civil service, and he also played quite a bit of cricket. And John, I don't remember John, no. Jackie Folk, I remember Jackie, yes, he's a Spartan stalwart. He was down here for quite a few years.
Yeah.